Discourse Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Essen. I'm joined by my regular discoursers, Andrew Riley and Travis Hudson, and special guest discourser, Gurky. We're continuing our series on the movies of the 2000s. We'll be discussing our favorite movies, the most influential, and others that are worthy of discourse. We're currently on 2007, and I'll kick us off with the top grossing movies of 2007, where we have the highest grossing movie is Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, the end of the trilogy, grossing $963 million, a little step down from Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest. Next, we have Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, Spider-Man 3, Shrek the Third, Transformers, Ratatouille, I Am Legend, The Simpsons Movie, National Treasure, Book of Secrets, and 300.
That's a lot of threes in 1 year.
Yeah, there's a lot of a lot of the end of trilogies here.
Well, but also, and then also 300. But yeah, that's interesting. Three ending trilogies. Anyway, Best Picture nominees. I've actually heard of all these. So, There Will Be Blood. I'll drink your milkshake.
Wait.
It's a bad thing to say, right? Just that you say There Will Be Blood.
Those are two separate things?
It's a very famous line from the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really?
One movie.
Yes. Okay. That's why I said it. Okay. At least somebody else saw the movie.
It's a great movie.
Maybe I can just guess. Michael Clayton.
And I'm going to interject here and say that in Pass the Popcorn, this is a movie that often comes up.
Michael Clayton?
Yes. And I'm always like, oh God, it's that totally generic name and that's of a person and that's it. And everyone doesn't know what I'm talking about.
It's a highlight of George Clooney's career, I believe.
Maybe.
It got nominated for Best Picture, probably.
Ooh, a nomination.
He was second runner-up for Best Actor for it.
Ooh, a nomination.
You had to drink a milkshake to win Best Actor this year. Anyway, Juno. Atonement? All right, I don't know what Atonement is.
I'm sure Andrew does.
I am familiar with Atonement.
Yeah.
What are you familiar with? The movie Atonement.
Yes, and okay. For many of the same reasons, believe it or not.
And the winner was No Country for Old Men.
This is a much stronger year than 2006.
Oh. So we should all feel bad for guessing movies that you hate instead of movies that
definitely.
You like.
Definitely. I mean, you should always feel bad for that.
My wife wouldn't... I don't think she'll watch No Country for Old Men a second time because she was terrified of...
It's scary.
Bardem in that movie.
He is a scary dude.
And the actor and the character he plays is scary, too.
Yes, well... So let's talk about our guesses.
Yes.
Good segue.
Yeah. As a scary dude, let's talk about our guesses.
You had mentioned guesses, so we're gonna play a guessing game. We're going to try and guess movies off of each other's lists, and if we guess correctly, we get a point.
Pride Buck.
Points are for Pride Bucks, and our current Pride Buck scores are... I'm in the lead with 9 Pride Bucks.
Boo.
Paul is right behind me with 8 Pride Bucks.
Yeah.
Gurky is right behind him with 7 Pride Bucks.
Behind every great man is a great woman.
And behind a great woman is Travis with 6 Pride Bucks. I imagine there's another great woman behind him, but she's not on this podcast.
Bringing up the rear is a great Travis.
But we're all within one of each other. It goes 9, 8, 7, 6. So, I mean, it's really, really close here.
Say, sin is a chance.
There's absolutely a chance until you start guessing.
Ouch. Oof! Why'd you look at me when you said that?
Because you're the one asking for the chance, and you're not going to guess my pick, for sure.
Oh. Challenge accepted.
Well then. Who's going first?
It's a bad movie. Yeah.
Let me look. Foreign films released in 2007 from 50 years ago.
Rotten Tomatoes. Sort D, sort ascending. Let me see.
Yeah.
What is the worst movie of 2007? I actually don't know, but...
There's probably a lot.
I guess we're going to find out when you tell us.
We'll find out soon enough.
All right.
Okay, so am I supposed to guess or is Paul guessing
Paul
first?
Paul starts off.
Okay,
right?
Sure.
Okay, so my guess for Gurky, I'm feeling pretty good about this, even though I don't think I've gotten a single one of these right yet.
Yeah, I don't think you've guessed
right. Your track record is not good.
Maybe I shouldn't feel good about this, but I'm going to go with P.S. I Love You.
Thanks, sweetie, but what's my guess?
You're taking a chapter out of my book, huh? Travis, I'm going to go with Superbad. And Andrew, I'm apparently just going to throw away my guess and say There Will Be Blood.
Oh, that seemed like a pretty good guess based on his reaction. I'm not confident in this year's guesses. Paul, I'm going to guess you like shirtless oiled up men in 300.
I do like one of those.
I know Andrew likes a Coen Brothers movie. I know he said he liked the 2001, but I'm going with No Country for Old Men. And Gurky, my tried and true book category guess, I'm going with The Golden Compass.
All right, so for my picks, Paul, I'm going to sort of swap you on yours for Travis and say you picked Superbad. Gerky, I'm going to go with a different book, different direction, and we're going to go with Stardust. And Travis, I'm going to say The Simpsons Movie.
Don't!
Okay. So, Andrew, you love Pixar from this year. And you Ratatouille. Went with Ratatouille. Paul, Travis is totally right about you.
The oiled up man.
Oiled up man did it for you. Totally do it for you. But yeah. You know, 300.
Literally, like a minute ago, off mic, you were talking about how I love like Kate Beckinsale and leather. Is there really a huge overlap between Kate Beckinsale and leather and oiled up topless men?
I think Kate Beckinsale and leather enjoys oiled up topless men.
So if we combine the two,
you want an Underworld 300 crossover movie? Yeah. Is what we're saying. Yes.
Yeah,
I'll admit,
I would watch that.
I would. Yeah, I would watch that. The Spartans versus the vampires.
Versus the Lycans.
Yeah, the Lycans, yeah. Sure.
So, you picked 300. And Travis, yours, I it's kind of like a stab in the dark. I changed mine. I think I'm going to change it again and go... Ooh. Actually, no, I'll stick with what I have wrote down. I'm going to say you agree with Paul. You went with 300.
Mm. You like men.
Wow.
You like men.
Okay, so I'm going with my favorite movie.
What is your favorite movie, Paul, for 2007?
So there was a more succinct quote, but I'll go with a longer one. The world will know that free men stood against a tyrant, yep. That few stood against many, and before this battle was over, even a god king can bleed. Also known as, This is Sparta! Yeah,
the ship, the movie that launched 1,000 memes.
Right? Yeah. Madness? Yeah, so what can I say? Oiled up, topless men.
Gerard Butler looking super fit.
Yeah, I mean, some people who follow Rampant Discourse know we're doing a fitness challenge, and while I...
That's what you have taped up on the wall.
It's an inspiration. Gerard Butler.
The examples that I use was, Captain America, the love child of Captain America and Thor, I think is what I said, but, I'll take Gerard Butler as King Leonidas.
I have asked, since this is two... graphic novels in a row. I have to ask, have you read the graphic novel?
Nope. I don't read. We've established this.
To be fair, I have not read this one either. I'm not that much of a fan of Frank Miller's comic book
work. I've read both this one and Sin City, both his things got turned into movies. And
you read all of Sin City or like...
Yeah, okay. At least the first book or two.
Okay.
So enough that I got where the movie was coming from and a couple of extra stories as well. I was like, oh, hey, that's interesting. Sin City's been interesting. 300 is, Zack Snyder, the director for 300, loves to go very much directly from the source material here.
Watchmen!
We'll see that next year, most likely. He does that here. Very few changes, although 300 is a very short.
It's a short enough book that you could almost use it as storyboard.
Right, so it's basically storyboard, but then he has to add stuff into it anyway. If you like the movie, you're probably going to like the graphic novel in this case.
And honestly, I think you can make a good case for this being influential as well, because it kind of catapulted the career of Gerard Butler. It catapulted the career of Lena Headey, Queen Gorgo. I don't know if she was Sarah Connor before or after this, but she became Cersei and from Game of Thrones after this. There's also somebody else that I'm missing. Oh, Zack Snyder.
I was going to say, was Zack Snyder anything really before this, or was this his first?
I think what made him famous, right. I want to say.
Everybody has something beforehand. But
His best work. I like Watchmen.
Oh, wait, he did Dawn of the Dead remake.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, fair enough. But
that didn't launch him like 300. Yeah, I understand. But then Dawn of the Dead was his first accredited movie, according to Wikipedia.
Also a good movie. I enjoyed the Dawn of the Dead remake. There are arguments this is arguably kind of racist because it's like the brave defenders of the West against the disfigured forces of the East or whatever. And
is the Peloponnesian War, is the Persian War racist?
Well, it's also very ahistorical, right? Like, Non-historical?
There's a lot of historical aspects to this. Obviously, they're...
Sure, but they probably didn't have, like, mystics and...
No, the mystics... But they had oracles, and the oracles may have worked similar to this, obviously very different. And the misshapen man who couldn't join the 300, that is actually how they were defeated. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, there's racist elements there, and not so much racist, but, you know, just idealism and ableism. And the Persians coming in, that's a certain... You know, they were going to invade, and then they were beaten back, and they were beaten back by Greek people,
mm-hmm.
who were, you know, not Caucasian and white like the movie depicts, but close enough.
I will say that one thing I read is that this movie, in addition to a lot of other things, tends to glorify Spartans, when in reality, if you look at the entire military history of Sparta, it's generally them getting their butts kicked by various people, including the Athenians.
Well, they spent a lot of time fighting other people. When you fight as much as they did, you can lose a lot and still be pretty awesome.
But, you know, this may glorify them a little bit more than they should have. And there's also a lot of grandiose talk about, like, oh, we want to be, like, free Spartans or whatever, when, like, the Spartans had slaves and stuff like that. So it's not exactly the clear-cut good guys versus bad guys.
Kind of thing. I would say that most of the people who you hear saying, we want to be like free Spartans, would be totally okay having slaves.
in this movie. Yeah. What? Okay. Sure. I'll just agree with you. That's always safe to do. I agree with Andrew. So yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like I need to defend this much, since everyone apparently thought that I liked it. So
not everyone.
Not Andrew.
No. I did not pick it for yours.
Not because he picked it.
Because apparently it's a rule in Andrew's head.
Yeah.
Anyway, are we done with 300?
Yeah. Well, right, what's your pick? Yeah.
No. My thing. So,
super bad.
So there were some movies that in the moment I remember in 2007, really loving. Like, first movie I wrote down for the year was Smoke and Aces, but like, not anymore. Simpsons movie in the moment. But
so teasing us.
Yeah. No. But my favorite. Now, as an older person, maybe, is Ratatouille.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like I'm turning into a Pixar show by picking. Seems like I'm picking anytime there's a Pixar movie in a year. But yeah, I mean, again, like, maybe not a quantum leap in any sort of technology, but they nailed the story on it. The characters were interesting. I like the twist on the everyone can cook type of message behind the movie. It's a cute movie. It's one to rewatch. I kind of fell into a little bit of a trap sometime in these years. Some of these movies are the ones I've just rewatched 100 times now.
And part of this, you know, you can rewatch it with kids around. You're not going to, if you happen to really love There Will Be Blood, you're not going to rewatch it right now with your kids around, because it's not a kid movie at all.
Right. 300, you can definitely watch with kids around. Right?
Same kind of situation.
But like, Kayla would love it. I'm sure. Kayla would be so happy. She'd be like, ooh, Daddy, I like them. They're pretty.
She's got an unhealthy obsession with extremely fit men.
Yeah. She loves Thor. Didn't like him as much in Endgame. Yeah. We went to Vegas. She saw the Thunder from Down Under poster. She's like, Daddy, Mommy, look at them! Look at them! She was so excited.
You guys are going to have a handful in 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
We have a handful now.
So, dragging it back to Ratatouille, though. It is one of those things, like, though, when you have a family movie night, and, you know, daughter wants to watch Frozen again. I don't know what son would want to watch, but, like, my wife and I are like, let's watch Ratatouille again. Like, you know, that's
something we're asking for that.
I mean, she likes it because, you know, it has the French, and it's about cooking and things like that. And, you know, what's the bad guy? Isn't that Christopher Lee? I think it's Christopher
Lee. Je ne sais pas.
Is that his name?
I don't know.
That's a weird name.
I'm pretty sure that's like the bad guy restaurant critic that eats the Ratatouille of the
movie. But he's not a bad guy. He is, I don't know, one of the good guys. The bad guy's the chef.
Yeah, well, but, you know, until the guy writes the good review, he's the bad guy.
He's an imposing figure.
He makes them lose their star and all that stuff.
Most deserved. The chef died.
He's like writing in his typewriter is literally like a skull when he's typing his reviews.
He's like Cruella de Vil without the evilness, okay? I mean...
Yeah. Yes, the tiny chef is the actual tiny chef.
Like, he's just a short man. He's not the tiny chef.
Yes, tiny chef is Remy. Is the guy in the hat. Yes, this is Remy. Alright.
Wow, Andrew's getting really touchy about this, the tiny chef comment.
And yeah, like the scenes where they're learning how to cook without him, and he's like, throwing stuff and everything, like, is...
It's great physical comedy, which is very impressive to see in an animated film.
Yeah, and Will Ferrell is, like, one of the... Will Ferrell, I'm pretty sure, is the one of the chefs who's... He's killed a man with just this thumb.
Huh.
Paul, look it up.
I'm looking too. I don't see Will Ferrell listed.
But then who does... There's one of the voices. Anyway, Andrew, you go do your favorite.
Will Arnett, maybe?
Will Arnett. Yes. Horst. Who did I say?
Ferrell.
Will Ferrell. Yeah, no, Will Arnett.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, what's the name of the food critic? Do you know? The character?
Anton Ego.
So Peter O'Toole.
Yes. That's why his voice is so fantastic.
Yeah. I knew it was somebody with a fantastic voice. But, okay.
Okay, so for your guesses for me, Paul said There Will Be Blood. Gherky said Ratatouille, which we were just talking about. And
you're all wrong.
Travis said No Country for Old Men. You're all wrong. But you all picked amazing movies. So, congratulations.
Again. So we all get a pride buck?
No. No. You can get you get the pride of a pride buck without the pride buck.
That's worth
we
nothing.
We get the moral pride buck. Yeah.
I love all of those movies in their own ways, but my pick for my favorite movie for 2007 was, which is why I knew you were not going to pick it, Sunshine.
I've never even heard of this movie.
It was
That's a made up movie.
No, it's listed.
That's not listed.
They're going to the sun. Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy, the director, or writer just had a he has a movie out now or a series coming out now.
Yeah, they're traveling to the sun to kickstart the sun because the sun is having some sort of problem and is not providing enough heat and solar energy to the earth and everyone is dying. So it's science fiction, but then it's horror.
it's not nonfiction. Yeah.
Well, it's also, well, if we had the sun dying, maybe we wouldn't be having global warming. So who knows? But actually, that's actually
one of the sun dies
a slow death. Though we don't want to die quickly because then it explodes and then we all die anyway.
Everyone dies.
We die.
Not everyone truly lives.
Yes. So they're on the second spaceship to go to the sun and try and kickstart. So this is the second attempt. The first one did not succeed. And the crew includes Cillian Murphy as the main character. I mentioned my love of Cillian Murphy earlier. And along the way, bad stuff happens. And that's when the horror elements come out. And I do not like the horror movies, but this one is fantastic. I really like this movie. I like a lot of the ideas in it. I like the direction. It is oppressively intense, but without... You know, that period, you get breaks, you get time. You're in a spaceship, you're like, it's all going to be all over the place. No, you have these human moments in between and allows the movie to mature in a way that is very hard for a lot of movies to do.
Okay. Now I know the connection. Alex Garland.
Mm-hmm.
You must love Alex Garland, actually.
He does.
He has done a number of movies I'm fond of.
Yeah.
But did he do Sunshine?
He did Sunshine.
And you didn't bring that up?
Alex Garland directed it?
Yeah.
No.
Did he direct it or did he write it? I'm getting confused on what he wrote and what he directed. He did 28 Days Later.
Yep.
Annihilation. He's doing a current show called Devs.
The 28 Days Later is how he got Cillian Murphy, most likely.
He did Knowing, Dark City.
I just bring it up because I had recently read an article about this guy that
Alex
mentioned
Garland
Sunshine.
No, that's Alex Proyas.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Different Alex.
Not all oxes are the same.
No.
Interesting. To reevaluate.
Okay. My favorite movie is P.S. I Love You.
Thank you. What's your favorite movie?
Have you guys seen this?
No.
Paul, have you seen it?
No.
Oh my God, you have to see this. Yeah. So this is Hilary Swank. I think I love Hilary Swank, actually. Mm. There was another one of hers I picked, I think. And in this, her husband dies. And he has...
That's why she loves it.
No, it's such a sad movie. To her. No, it's a sad movie. But he has set up, because he knows he's dying, right? Before he dies, he set up basically letters to be delivered to her at certain points over the course of like a year or something.
This actually and sounds like something Paul will do if he finds out he's dying.
Probably.
It's like a heart-wrenching movie. I feel like I cry every time I watch it. But you know, he takes her on a journey of growth and recovery and, you know, really helps her to kind of find herself again because all she can, you know, think of is him and she's, you know, frozen in her apartment, crying all the time, doesn't want to go leave her, super depressed and, these letters have become kind of what she was living for, you know, and he kind of forces her to, you know, go out and face the world again.
But Paul's pressing question is probably, does Gerard Butler take off his shirt in this one?
He does a little strip tease, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now you gotta watch it.
Now you gotta watch it.
I guess we'll watch it then, yeah.
Yeah.
This seems like it's depending a lot on the consistency of the United States Postal Service. Because I'll be honest, I would be concerned about letters getting lost.
So he left them with someone.
Okay.
Who had delivered them at certain points.
Okay. What if that person dies?
Well, then you're fucked.
You provide a second envelope.
Well, to your point, though, I was wondering, like, how you can't just hand it over to the post office and be like, don't mail these until June 30th, July 7th, August. Like,
yeah, no, no. Do that, but, okay. I mean, he had it, basically, there was someone he gave them to, and she had them delivered at certain points throughout the movie. It's actually interesting. I think Lisa Kudrow's in it, in addition to Hilary Swank, and... I don't know. I always think of Lisa Kudrow as kind of being like
flaky,
mm-hmm. and her characters are a little flaky, but not as much. Captain you know, America it's a more it. In a more serious movie.
Captain America wrote it.
Stephen Rogers wrote the screenplay.
You have to remember it. He's like, I'm in. I'm watching it. Right. Let's go.
He realizes the pain that can come from being widowed or widower.
Yeah,
he's like, I can turn my pain into.
So it's a game.
this entertaining movie that helps a lot of people through this tough time.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the important thing is I got a pride buck.
Yes, you did guess it right.
You got a pride buck.
Right.
That one you knew I loved, even though you have not seen it.
So it's my influential now?
Yeah.
I'll go with Superbad. And
that was on my list for you too.
Yeah. I guess it's because it kind of made the... raunchy teenage boy comedy thing fresh again. I don't know. It seemed like it had and made a lot of big names.
I was about to say, can I jump in because it was my influential as well?
Okay, yeah.
Jonah Hill's debut, Michael Cera's debut, Bill Hader was
debut, but like
major film debut when I look back. Like they weren't in very much before this. Emma Stone's debut, Seth Rogen's first writing credit, I think. Christopher Mintz-Plasse. Is that how you say his last name?
Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, but went on to like.
You don't think Napoleon Dynamite was that raunchy teen thing?
No, it's, Napoleon Dynamite isn't all that raunchy.
Oh, isn't it? I didn't see that one either.
But Superbad is super raunchy.
Okay, I didn't see Superbad.
But like this was the same year as I have Bill Hader written down as he was in Superbad, Knocked Up, and I don't know if Hot Rod was this year or not, but like those three movies kind of all were of the same milieu kind of.
Yeah, launched a bunch of careers. It kind of reinvigorated that the raunchy teenage boy thing. I mean, it's not often you can make jokes about, you know, girls being on their period and make it funny. Or maybe it wasn't funny to people, but it made a lot of money at least. And that's pretty much all I got to go on there. I think you could swap 300 as being influential, just like we talked about before, but... You know, Superbad launched just as many careers and kind of reinvigorated a genre. Travis, you want to back me up at all? Or
no? I mean, I listed my reasons. I'm trying to make sure I was justified in saying it was all their debuts.
So what I'm hearing is that my guess for Superbad for you was...
Whoever guessed Superbad for me gets a point because it was my influential.
Yeah.
Same year as Juno, so kind of... It was kind of a Michael Cera year as well.
Yeah.
And but, it was again, all the same, after that. Same kind of...
But when was
Nick and Nora?
Scott,
was
2008. No.
Scott Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim, yeah.
That was not until 2010.
Yeah. Okay. That was his high water mark, probably.
Bread makes you fat.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess.
Sure.
I'm looking at the movies afterwards. And when you're in a movie called Crystal Fairy and the Magical Cactus, you've probably started going, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's on the downside.
That sounds like it could be a porno.
Anyway, that's a poster. All right. It's Andrew's because that's my influential movie as well.
Okay, so my pick for influential from 2007 is a movie I don't particularly enjoy, but it is influential, and that is Transformers.
Interesting.
Is this the first one?
The first one.
Well, yeah. The first Michael Bay one.
The first Michael Bay Transformers. And that is why it is influential. It's the Michael Bay style gone to the nth degree, because it's Michael Bay hitting his prime Michael Bayness.
I see what he did there.
This was the same...
His Optimus Prime Michael Bayness? His
Optimus Prime.
This was the same year his TMNT also came out, wasn't it?
Really?
God, that was... I had TMNT written down.
Are you sure that was Michael Bay's TMNT? Because I don't think
there was another... TMNT reboot, wasn't it?
Well, you're checking that one out. That seems odd that we'd have those two movies at the same time.
I had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles listed as a possibility for you, so it was TMNT this year.
Oh, no.
No?
The Michael... Oh, wait. Michael
I Bay? Think the Michael Bay one was later.
Was 2013 or 2014 or something. This was another TMNT reboot.
Was this one an animated one? It was an animated film?
Maybe. I don't know. Keep talking.
Okay, so Transformers is influential because... of the big screen spectacle aspect of Michael Bay and the huge money-making enterprise it became. It's not a good movie. It's not well-directed. It's not well-acted. It takes concepts that are not particularly good and turns them into a movie that's not particularly good. It could have been just the cartoon series and would have been better. But it's really popular, and it makes a lot of money. And there's a lot of them. And that style of filmmaking has substantially impacted how other action films have been made.
How many Transformers movies have you seen?
Any? The first two.
The first two?
I gave up after I was like, no, I didn't like the first one. I didn't like the second one. I'm going to stop now.
This was the one with the trailer prominently featuring the girl on the motorcycle, right?
Yeah.
Megan Fox. Wait, the girl on the motorcycle? Girl. As if you don't know.
I don't. Couldn't remember her name.
Yeah, sure. Megan Fox.
And these first couple were starring...
Shia LaBeouf?
Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, before they got... What's his name?
Mark Wahlberg?
Mark Wahlberg, yeah.
And I imagine I would like the Mark Wahlberg ones better, because I like Mark Wahlberg better than Shia LaBeouf, but...
Still Michael Bay Transformers movies.
Exactly. So I have... And periodically I'm like, it looks like it's a better movie now, but it's better than bad, so I still don't have an interest in seeing it.
It's not super bad,
though. It's not super bad.
The TMNT movie in 2007 was apparently some sort of computer animated movie, not the Michael Bay version.
Okay, so that was my influential... So nobody gets any points from me. Sorry.
Yeah. My most influential, and I'll say right before we started, I was looking through the list because I wanted to change it. And I honestly didn't see anything I wanted to change it to. I picked Juno.
Okay.
So it launched Ellen Page. It was a big thing at the time, you know, having a pregnant high schooler. It was a really well done movie. It was nominated for a lot of awards.
Best Picture.
Was it Best Picture nominated? It was
nominated, didn't
win. Yeah. And she, I believe, was nominated in it for...
Best Actress, I don't know.
For something, yeah.
Is that a cue for me? Yes.
Best Actress, yeah.
Yeah, she Ellen got, Page, Juno. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really liked it, which is oftentimes a factor in my picking what... I mean, I'm not going to pick something as most influential if I didn't like it.
Andrew will.
I try not to, but this one, it's just, Transformers' influence is so much more than the rest of the movies that I actually like this year, so.
I guess I caveat it as most influential to me, not necessarily to just the world in general. But anyway, so.
While we're bringing up the awards, Ratatouille did win Best Animated Feature. But I'm pretty sure they win it every year.
Yeah. Comes out.
I think Disney has won like 12 out of the past 13 or something. The best animated.
Transformers was nominated for Best Sound Editing. There you go. It couldn't even get Best Visual Effects or Cinematography or anything.
Yeah, I don't think the editing.
No, it did. Okay, no, nominated for Best Visual Effects.
Yeah, Visual Effects makes sense. Although
lost to Golden Compass, apparently.
I don't think the visual effects are all that good, honestly. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I don't like that style of direction. The action is so close up and centered, you can't see what's happening. It's really jarring to try and watch those movies.
And they tried to make the style of how they made the Transformers. I don't know if it was too realistic or whatever, but it's hard to tell the difference between the two of them. Like, it was like, okay, there's a jumble of robotic parts, and there's a jumble of robotic parts, and they're
fighting.
They're hitting each other, and one of them just got, I think, torn in half, or maybe he just jumped away. I don't know. And, I guess one of them's dead. I don't know which one it is. Yeah, it's...
And, you know, sometimes the character designs work better than others. Mm-hmm. You know, Bumblebee and Optimus Prime are pretty solid in terms of those designs because they were iconic to start. But you're right, you know, Starscream and all the Decepticons are just awful in terms of what they, you know, they just look like jumbles.
Yeah. Yeah, they tried, yeah, I don't know if it was too realistic or what, but they just don't look distinct. So
it could have been realistic and distinct.
Yeah. They chose neither. All right. Worthy of discourse?
I just want to bring up, since I randomly had to look up this TMNT movie, the voice cast is actually impressive. Chris Evans, Patrick Stewart, Nolan North, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Zhang Zhiji, Lawrence Fishburne.
There were two females?
Sarah Michelle Gellar was April O'Neil, and Zhang Zhiji, I can never pronounce her name right, is Karai.
Karai is Shredder's daughter.
Shredder has a daughter?
Shredder has a daughter.
Apparently. Kevin Smith was the diner cook. So Donatello is credited like 10th. That's sad for Donatello.
He didn't have a lot of lines.
He's the least popular turtle.
Come on. Quick round the table, best turtle.
Raphael.
Donatello.
Shrug.
That's not a turtle.
When the turtle shrugs, his head goes all the way into the shell.
Picasso?
I'm joking.
Picasso.
It's a joke. They're all artists.
Yes, but they're all...
Italian. I know. I was specifically picking one that was clearly not a turtle.
Right. Not all artists are turtles.
Everyone can cook. Everyone can paint.
Doesn't mean you should.
I don't know which one's which. I don't know what color goes to which.
Originally, they didn't have colors. That was the cartoon. Right.
No, yeah, they were all just sort of
red. Well, reddish. First of all, the cartoon was black and... The comic was black and white. The first colorization, they were all red. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was until the cartoon and the Archie comic showed up that they got individual colors.
So we could actually tell them apart. Look,
those colors are important. I mean, they had different weapons, too. Yes.
Yeah, but if you don't have the weapons, you couldn't tell them apart. Besides, unless you heard them talk or something. And then they're obviously different.
Sure they are.
But anyway, I agree. The answer is Donatello. Raphael.
Yeah. He's the best.
Okay. You're wrong.
No clear flaws, unlike the rest. Well, I have flaws.
I would say I'm shocked that that's your favorite, because...
His flaw actually, is anger.
Is Michelangelo your least favorite?
Probably.
Okay. That makes sense to me.
He doesn't take things seriously enough.
No, he really doesn't. So, worthy of discourse.
I have the Simpsons movie as a worthy of discourse, just because it wasn't that bad.
It was Spider-Pig.
Spider-Pig.
Harry Potter.
Does whatever a Spider-Pig does.
Can he fly or something?
Can he sit from a web or?
Yeah, I don't know. That's like the main line of the movie.
Yeah,
it's
Can he swing from a web? I think.
I will always remember the sequence with Bart skateboarding nude down the street.
Yeah,
that one.
I'm kind of wondering, like, did it not do well enough to have a sequel, or did they just not feel the need?
I don't think they felt the need.
The show is obviously still on. So.
Yeah, maybe there'll be another one now. It's been a long time. We're talking about a movie that came out in 2007, so that's 13 years. Yeah. They could do another one. And I think one of the things that was surprising for people when this movie came out was they waited so long to do the first one. You know, before this, you'd had something like the X-Files movie, which came out just after the X-Files was on its downswing, really. And so they do the movie and it doesn't do any good. So this was people saying, maybe this is the end of The Simpsons. They waited too long. It's coming out now. It means they're on the downswing. And it didn't. The movie was good, unlike the X-Files movie. And it didn't harm the television show. They continued to be as popular as ever. I mean, it's not as strong now as it was during the heyday seasons, but it's still going 13 years later, and it's adequate enough that it's not going to stop anytime soon.
Adequate enough. That's the rave review. Yes. Right there.
I haven't seen episodes recently. My understanding is that they're funny, but not funny enough for people to, generally speaking, go out of their way. You watch it if it's on.
I love how Andrew always finds a way in, like, pretty much every sentence he utters to find some way to toss out either backhanded compliments or just insults to various things.
Yeah.
He's like, unlike the X-Files movie, which was bad, like, you didn't even need to throw that in there. He just decided, I'm going to throw that in there.
Or well, adequate enough. Make sure he's clear.
Yeah.
There was another cartoon that had a movie this year. It was the Aqua Teen Hunger Force movie.
There was an Aqua Teen Hunger Force
there movie. There sure was.
Wow.
It was called, like, Aqua Teen Hunger Force : the movie or something like that.
I remember really liking that for like a month in college.
The show was not as good in retrospect as I remember originally watching on Adult Swim, but
yeah.
The movie was certainly a thing.
We went to see Live Free or Die Hard.
Yeah, that was on my worthy of discourse.
Is that the one where they crashed the internet?
Yes.
Okay. And it's hilarious because part of the scenes...
Timothy Oliphant takes down the entire internet.
I think that's also the one where part of the highway scenes are supposed to be up by Social Security.
Yeah, I've never been in D.C., so they...
No, it's in Baltimore. It's
really?
Like, yeah.
I thought it was D.C.
Like, that's where the Social Security building
is. I think
like,
it's supposed to be in Maryland.
The road is called Social Security Boulevard up there. Like, and we're... Obviously, we're laughing at it because we're like, there's highway in Maryland that looks like the scenes that they're jumping off of in this thing, but...
Yeah, that was a good... I mean, it had Maggie Q and, what's his name, the McIntosh, Justin Long.
Yeah, as long as you get past the ridiculous premise that you can... Or, like, that, I mean, the entire energy grid goes through, what, like, three focus points in the country or something like that?
It's a diehard movie.
Yeah, so. I understand.
Yeah.
You have to get... Check your brain a little bit.
Yeah.
I had something else up there. Oh. We keep hyping previewing 2008 as the MCU, but Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer was this year as like, wow, we're kind of glad we got to where the Marvel movies got good.
This is all Sony's fault.
Yeah, I know. These are like the
pre... Fantastic Four was Fox, wasn't it?
I think Sony was Spider-Man,
but I thought Sony had a hand in this one as well. Maybe it was just all Fox. Either way, it was bad.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't blame Fox totally. I mean, they did the first two X-Men movie, then they did the third one, and the second Fantastic Four. So
I think it does show that there's more to it than just the production houses and producers. You also need the directors to really be on board and have the same vision. You need the whole team working together.
I thought the Fantastic Four movies were okay. Yes, not as good as the X-Men movies, and not as good as the MCU movies, but I never left one thinking that was terrible.
Okay, so something else worth the discourse, because I don't want to fight you on that one.
All right.
How about Meet the Robinsons?
Meet the Robinsons.
Have you guys not seen Meet the Robinsons?
No.
I don't think I have.
Okay, so Meet the Robinsons is a Disney film. We talked a lot about the Pixar film from this year, which is Ratatouille, which is very, very good. But Meet the Robinsons is a just general Disney movie from this time period. And this is... The orphan who essentially accidentally creates, the big head with little arms.
Big head with little arms.
Yeah, Travis is making emotions over here.
We're all gas out of him. What are you doing?
What you're doing
I know what you're talking about. No one else did, so it was a little awkward. The orphan wants to create a machine for his science fair, which allows him to see his mother, who he feels abandoned by because she left him at the orphanage and doesn't know why. Mm-hmm. And then accidentally ends up in the future. And he sees his future self as the inventor he becomes and the family that he has that he longs for as an orphan. And it's a really sweet story, while also being a really cool science fiction adventure in a way that I like movies that aren't like other kinds of movies. This is the kind of thing you see in science fiction books frequently, but doesn't show up in movies.
Just a gif apparently from it where the kid's holding a steak and he goes, "Steak, you're my only friend."
Right, and it's got an absurd humor, which is just fantastic. It's got really, really good humor.
Sounds like Invader Zim kind of humor.
Almost Invader Zim, but not quite that absurd.
Yeah.
But it's science fiction style humor, so it's not super popular as a result of it. It's not something that's mainstream, but it is a really good movie.
Hmm.
Or we could talk about Hot Fuzz. So we talked about Dawn of the Dead and then Shaun of the Dead.
British. Shocking.
No. Hot Fuzz is Simon Pegg again.
Yeah, my dislike of Simon Pegg.
But in a lot of ways, Hot Fuzz is even better because it's just even more of a send-up of the buddy cop style of movies. And it's completely over the top. Very funny. 3:10 to Yuma, a remake of a classic Western.
Christian Bale, right?
Christian Bale and Russell Crowe.
That sounds right.
And I love this movie. It's not just the original was good and this is good, but I think this might actually be a better 3:10 to Yuma, which is just really impressive. The acting is phenomenal. The villains, so good.
Who are the villains?
Russell Crowe is the villain.
Okay.
He's the main bad guy, but he's the one who's been captured. Plot line is they're going to take him to jail and to put him in the proper jail, the federal jail, they have to take him on a train. They have to put him on the 3:10 to Yuma. And they make the mistake of telling his posse, his gang, that they're going on this train, and now the gang's coming to break him out.
Why would they tell the gang that?
Oh, you shouldn't have told them that.
It seems like I'm shouldn't have said
that.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have said that. Which is exactly that. The line of the movie. And his second in command, Charlie Prince, who's the actor who plays him, I'm blanking on his name, but he looks fantastic in this, and he is just... You think Javier Bardem is scary in No Country for Old Men? This guy's scary.
Hmm. Yeah. And my wife loved the book, too.
So, No Country for Old Men?
No, The 3:10 to Yuma.
Okay.
I had Knocked Up mentioned mm-hmm. as kind of the pair up with Superbad almost in terms of it being... They're both... God, what's his name?
Judd Apatow?
Yeah, Judd Apatow, right? Where they kind of raunchy-ish... where Superbad was raunchy teenage boy kind of comedy. Knocked Up was a little bit more of a raunchier version of a romantic comedy, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know if romantic comedies were quite the right way of putting it, but it seemed worthy of mentioning here.
Is this the one where Paul Rudd is hiding his fantasy league from his wife, I believe?
No, this is the one where Seth Rogen...
Well, no, the B plot.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure this is...
Maybe?
Yeah, because like they're friends with Paul Rudd and his wife, and I'm pretty sure she thinks he's cheating on her, and she tracks him down and finds out he's like sneaking off to his fantasy baseball league or something.
Why would you need to sneak off to a fantasy baseball league?
Something part of the relationship that he's not supposed to be doing it or something. So yeah,
something like he's ashamed of like taking that time away from his family or something. Because they're the people with kids, so like it's Seth Rogen and Elizabeth Banks, right? Or the Knocked Up couple. Whoever they are, like yeah. It's supposed to be like that's they're like they keep like seeing like that's our future type of parallel.
And the other one I have,
Catherine Heigl.
Oh, Catherine Heigl.
Catherine Heigl.
And then the other one I have is Spider-Man 3, just because I don't much like the Final Fantasy: The Rise of the Silver Surfer. I don't know if this movie is Fantastic Four. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Fantastic Four: The Rise of the Silver Sephiroth. Spider-Man 3 I don't think Spider-Man 3 is quite as bad as people say it was.
It's not as bad as people say it is.
It had its low points, certainly.
It's definitely not good.
But, I think it actually did a fairly decent job of tying things together by the end. And I don't know if they were planning on it being the end of the trilogy necessarily, but it kind of comes full circle. And I guess I won't spoil a whatever 20 or 15 year old movie, but. You know, his relationship with Harry kind of comes full circle.
I wonder if I would appreciate it more now that we're farther removed from that 70s show, that I would be able to take Topher Grace more seriously as Venom than in the moment when it came out.
There were still not very serious Venom.
There were some questionable casting decisions just because it's so hard to take Topher Grace seriously as an Eddie Brock.
And it's so hard to take him.
Yeah, Sandman. I can't remember the guy from Wings.
Yeah, whatever his name. But also... Why am I Tobey Maguire? It's I don't know. It's hard to take him serious as like emo Peter Parker, strutting down the street or whatever he is.
Yeah, Sam Raimi definitely has a kind of a corniness to his movies, which maybe hasn't aged as well in the era of more serious MCU movies. But I think it's a pretty good movie for what it is.
I still like Spider-Man 3 better than Spider-Man the original, the first one with Tobey Maguire.
I'll have to see them both to be a better judge. I don't think it's a blasphemous opinion like your Robin Hood opinion, but it seems reasonable. So,
how about one more or two more for you? Across the Universe?
Never heard of it.
So Across the Universe is a musical movie set entirely to Beatles songs.
I have heard of it.
Are you sure you're not thinking of the one where the Beatles were forgotten?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay.
That one's new.
That one's much newer, yeah. This one is a tour through the 60s as a musical, almost opera, with the entirety of the song moving to almost essentially, I think, the entire movie in lyrics that are Beatles lyrics. It's pretty solid. Some good casting, some wonderful art design. It's hard to tie a narrative together with something like that, but they managed to pull one off, and it works pretty well.
Somewhat related, there's a Netflix show called Beat Bugs where each episode is centered around a Beatles song that they weave into a plot.
Seeing that, showing it to my kids. When I still had Netflix. last one, how about Charlie Wilson's War?
You've mentioned this before, haven't you?
I don't know that I've mentioned it on the podcast. I may have mentioned it to you specifically.
Okay.
It's certainly an under-the-radar movie, but it's really kind of interesting because it shows the CIA involvement in Afghanistan and how it plays out with how Afghanistan and Russia and U.S. relations all were in that area. And this was, I think, late 80s, early 90s when it was supposed to be happening, and pointing forward to the problems that we still have in Afghanistan to this day.
I know we keep throwing out movies. There was one other one. Oh, since Andrew is showing us somewhat surprising love of all the Westerns dating back to Unforgiven.
I love Westerns.
What about The Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford? I always hear that name, but I've never seen it.
I haven't seen the movie. I don't think I'd like it.
Okay.
Because I like Robert Ford and I hate Sam Peckinpah. So I don't love all Westerns. Sam Peckinpah Westerns suck.
Wait, this is a 2007 movie.
I understand, but it's attacking Ford and it really loves Peckinpah, as my understanding is, his vision of the West.
Apparently I should watch it because that's Brad Pitt. I'll mention just throughout, there was a movie called Shoot 'Em Up with, I was trying to look up the actor.
It's not Gerard Butler.
No. But
I kept wanting to see Clive Owen.
Clive Owen, yes. Yeah. Clive Owen.
And Paul Giamatti.
And Monica Bellucci.
Yeah, there are some hilarious
That is such a movie. Good movie. That one is so over the top. I can't believe it was on my Worthy of Discourse list, honestly.
Yeah, there's like a scene, like he's shooting at Paul Giamatti, and there's like, you missed me, and it's because he shot out the lights to like spell out some curse word to him or something, like instead of actually shooting him.
It is stupid in the best way.
Yeah.
It is a stupid movie that I love.
It's a name Shoot 'Em Up for a reason, because it's going to be just pure dumb fun. But yeah, I think, again, this is another one of my cold movies that I still own. Oh yeah, he eats carrots randomly or something. Yeah,
that's how he has his really sharp eyesight to make all those impossible shots.
Yeah,
of course.
It's that type of movie.
That's how carrots work.
That's that type of movie.
It's like Popeye the Sailor Man.
and Monica Bellucci is a hooker, and she's
called the milkmaid or something,
right? Because she's lactating constantly, so that's her attraction.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but there we go. That's in the movie as well. All
right.
So if that's your kink, this movie's for you.
So we know what kind of movies you need to kill you guys for the last 2 years. Wonderful.
You'll be watching Gerard Butler do strip shows. We'll be watching The Milkmaid, apparently. All right.
On that note, thanks for listening.
Gurky looks horrified at this moment.
I'm so sorry, Gurky. It's a good movie.
Sure it is.
RampantDiscourse.com. Discord.io/rampantdiscourse. Follow us on Twitter @rampantdisc. Facebook page. Give us a review. iTunes. Wherever else.
That's such a kludgy sign off.
Can't stop the discourse.